John, Jeff, ladies, choir, thank you for such beautiful music. This morning in our series, last week we talked about why Jesus had to become human, and this morning we're going to say why Joseph. Why was Joseph chosen by God to be Mary's husband, to be Jesus' earthly father, if you will, a stepdad, as we know the Holy Spirit, God himself, is the father. So why Joseph? Well, what I hope to share this morning is how God uses ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. And it's interesting because over and over in the scriptures, God will use ordinary people. God will use those less intelligent deemed by the world, those less financially successful, all those things that the world will kick to the curb, and God will use those people for his glory and his righteousness. One that I am absolutely part of that collection. You know, for many young people, and I was in this classification, is that when you're growing up, one day you hope to be famous. I hope to be famous. I hope to be successful. I hope, you know, all those things that you look forward to that the world entices you with. You know, for me, it was, I was hoping at the age of 26 to own a restaurant, to be a famous chef, to make a pile of money, to be on TV, you know, all of these things that when we're young, we hope for. Today's celebrity endorsements, well, for quite a while now, they influence the popularity of breakfast cereal. They influence the food we're supposed to eat and the clothes we are supposed to wear. Do you know in Joseph's day, men did not desire to be prestigious, but rather have a good reputation. His decision to stand by Mary and for God was not an easy choice to make. We learn through his story that when we trust and obey God, that God will unfold his purpose, God will unfold his plan for us, and in this case, God unfolded his plan for the entire world. You know, Joseph sometimes is referred to as the forgotten man of Christmas. He is spoken to, he is spoken about. But when you glean the scriptures, especially in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke, Joseph really never speaks. He never says a word. He is almost viewed as a small character on this big stage or like a stagehand to a big production. According to Matthew's genealogy, Jesus was a potential king, a person of royal blood. Yet we know very little about him, don't we? He appears on the scene for just a moment, and then he's gone. For the rest of Jesus' life, we don't really hear about Joseph much. It's always about Mary and the disciples and those to whom Jesus heals, whom Jesus preaches to, whom he teaches to. And Joseph just seems to be a mere backdrop to the whole story. I can imagine Joseph, as you know, he was a carpenter, was just hoping to marry Mary, have a nice life together, have children, and be content, worship in the synagogue, and be a good Jewish man. But after the angel showed up to Mary and told her that she would be the mother of the Messiah, conceived through the Holy Spirit, everything changed, and Joseph's world was flipped upside down as well as hers. And the wild thing, when she got the message from Gabriel of what God was asking her to do, she fled to go be with her sister Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John, and never told her husband. Look at the story in Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. In those days, Mary set out and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. Now, she'd already been told by Gabriel what was asked of her, and now she had already conceived, had not given birth yet. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside her. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So she was pregnant with John, who's going to be John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, the forerunner to prepare the way for Christ. And so when Mary shows up at her sister's house, the baby in Elizabeth leaped inside her. Then, being full of the Holy Spirit, she exclaimed with a loud cry to Mary, "You are the most blessed of women, and your child will be blessed. How could this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" How about that for an entrance if you're Mary? "For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy inside me. She who has believed is blessed because what was spoken to her by the Lord will be fulfilled." So as we look at why Joseph this morning, first, it was how he handled the discovery of Mary's baby. We read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, "The birth of Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit." Let that sink in for a second, and all that entails when you're engaged here in the first century. There had been no physical union. It was you wait till marriage. And yet here's Mary with a child. So how do you explain that? Probably her parents didn't understand either. I mean, would you? Think about it. If in your family you were told, "Oh, by the way, your daughter or your sister, she's pregnant through the Holy Spirit," what would you say? "Are you kidding me? Come on. I wasn't born yesterday. I didn't fall off a turnip truck," right? I mean, we can go on and on. I'm sure nobody accepted her story. And you see there, when it says she's engaged to Joseph, okay, so they're betrothed. There's an agreement that has been signed with their engagement. Dowry gifts have already been given. Friends and relatives knew of the couple and their marriage to be. And then Joseph finds out she's pregnant. So the first thing you would think of, she was unfaithful to me. So what is Joseph going to do with this dilemma? How's he going to handle Mary with this situation going on, because he knows he's not the father? Well, we find out in Matthew 1:19, this is what he decides. "So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly." Now, Joseph did not want to put Mary to shame. So he decided, "Well, you know what? I'll just divorce her quietly. She'll just go away. We'll annul this agreement, and she'll go do her thing with the child, and I'll go do my thing." Mary, though, was a godly woman. And I would imagine in no way could Joseph think or conceive in his mind that she would be unfaithful to him. So maybe she got raped. But you think if she did, she would have told her fiancé of what has happened. The third option is that Mary's telling the truth. That the angel really did visit her and she accepted this request from God, and that she is with child, and it was a supernatural conception between her and the Holy Spirit. You know, Joseph knew the scriptures. He pondered what it meant that the Messiah was supposed to be born to the house of David. So what's he going to do? I know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to just divorce her quietly and secretly. So as Joseph was planning on doing this, the Lord shows up in the dream. And the Lord showed up because this here, what we're going to read in Deuteronomy, is another option that Joseph didn't want to walk through. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, 23, and 24, the law says this. If there's a young woman who is a virgin and engaged to a man, so this describes Joseph and Mary's position, and another man encounters her in the city and is intimate with her, you must take the two of them out to the gate of the city and stone them to death. The young woman, because she did not cry out in the city, and the man, because he has violated his neighbor's fiance. You must purge the evil from you. So Joseph had this at his opportunity. Now, it said he didn't want to bring shame or disgrace to her, but he could have charged her with infidelity and had her stoned to death if he had chosen that route. Of course, he'd have to find the guy. But he decided, I'm just going to let her go her way. I'm going to go my way. Whatever happens, happens. And that's why God had to show up in this dream of his. In Matthew 1:20, we find this. But after he considered these things, which we just went over, Joseph's considering, what am I going to do? An angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Because what has been conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. When you read about you get a dream or in a vision, it means you're asleep. Joseph was not awake. He was dead asleep. And the Lord showed up to him in a dream. Told him exactly what the truth is. Told him that his wife-to-be told him the truth. That she was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And he should be taking her to be his wife. And you see there, and this is an important thing of why Joseph. Joseph, son of David. The scriptures say that Jesus is going to be a fulfillment in the lineage of David. So therefore, the husband had to be from the lineage of David, and whom Mary was going to have to be wedded to bring this to pass. We find in Luke chapter 2, verse 4, Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. And here it is, because he was of the house and family line of David. So Joseph knew that it had to be him. We don't hear anything about him saying no. We know, though, through the course of actions that he agreed to, he trusted, he was obedient, and he took Mary to be his wife. As the story goes and continues in Matthew 1, verse 21, it says, she will give birth to a son. This is the angel talking to Joseph. And you are to name him Jesus, because his name means he will save his people from their sins. Verse 25, but did not know her intimately until she gave birth to a son. And he named him Jesus. Now, we didn't say that he spoke. This might be the only thing we realize that he might have spoken. But Joseph named his son according to the dream in which the angel told him to do. In verses 22 and 23, we read this in Matthew chapter 1. Now, all of this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant, give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. This is from Isaiah. And notice it doesn't say just any old virgin or a virgin. It says the virgin. So we know that both Isaiah and Matthew are speaking definitively about one singular person, and her name is Mary. And we're going to talk more about Mary next week. And Joseph's decision about the baby in verses 24 and 25 says this, when Joseph got up from sleeping, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him, and he married her, but did not know her intimately until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. He had to wait, because according to the prophecies, Jesus had to be born by a virgin. So with all of this said, there's a question here I want to ask you this morning, because it's a question I've asked myself. Have you ever been caught there where Joseph and Mary have been caught between what God says and what makes sense? I mean, if you're truly going to follow the Lord, we find ourselves at times in the position that we don't even understand what he's asking. We don't even believe it makes sense. I mean, imagine Joseph. The angel shows up. He had this vision in his dream. And then he wakes up and he's like, oh my gosh, what in the world just happened? This absolutely does not make sense to me. But if the Lord asked me, I must be obedient. And I can tell you, in my lifetime since I've said yes to the Lord, this kind of stuff happens all the time. God will make requests of us, especially when it does not seem to make sense to us. But we read here as Mary and Joseph went through dealing with these angels and sharing and the requests that was being given them. We read in verse 18, the birth of Jesus came this way after his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph. It was discovered that they came together, that before they came together, she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And after he considered all these things, what to do, the angel appeared to him and said, don't be afraid to take her as your wife, because what's been conceived is by the Holy Spirit. And the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you are to name him Emmanuel, which is God with us. And of course, he didn't know her intimately until after she gave birth, and he named him Jesus. So why Joseph? Joseph was a man who was going to be a very good father to the son and a very good husband to Mary. He was a man that was from the lineage of David. He was a man that God knew that he would be obedient and that he would trust him. He may not speak a word in this Christmas story, but his actions and his obedience and his trust speaks volumes that says what we need to emulate as well as followers of Jesus Christ. Let me say this morning that the most important thing in the whole world can happen to the least important people in the world. Don't ever feel that you are insignificant when it comes to the Lord and to the gospel and to a calling and a purpose. The most important things in the world, I would say, should happen to the people that the world deems least important. That the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords can take up residence in the most ordinary lives. Ordinary lives. Not sensational lives. Not lives that the world puts up on a pedestal. Did any of you see the response the other day from the head coach of the Boston Celtics when they asked him if he realized royalty was in the garden for the ball game? Nobody? Nobody here must be Celtics fans, huh? Well, I only say it because it was so awesome. They asked him, one of the reporters, what did you think of the royal family being in attendance tonight? And he said, oh, who do you mean? Mary and Joseph and Jesus? Oh, no, from England. He goes, the only royalty I know is the Lord Jesus Christ and his family. How about that? Awesome. The greatest somebody who ever lived can come to nobodies like Joseph and Mary and like you and like me. Isn't this the very attitude that God requires of us? That day when the Lord called me in the ministry, I was in the same place. I said, you've got to be kidding me. Me, Lord? I'm a nobody. I'm just a guy slinging hash every day, trying to make my way through life. And so at this moment, I'm doing something different. I'm pulling a play out of Mrs. DeBow's playbook. But if everybody would just stand up for a second. Come on. You know you've been sitting too long anyways. Come on. And then I'll sit you back down. But I want you to repeat these words with me. Because this is from why Joseph, this is, and Mary, this is their attitude, this is their spirit. Lord God.
Lord God.
Just tell me what to do.
And I will do it.
I will be obedient anytime.
I will be obedient anytime.
anywhere,
any
place,
anything.
Lord God,
I do not understand
it. And it does not make sense,
as far as I know.
But if you say it,
I will do it.
All right, go ahead and sit down. That's all God asks of us. As he asked that of Joseph, he asked that of Jesus, he asked that of Mary, and he continues to this day to ask this of us. You know, there's a story of a British student who was in England studying engineering, and in his spare time he loved riding on a motorcycle. Well, on a cold, rainy night, he crashed. He ended up lying there for hours. He got pneumonia. He was hospitalized. And during that process, the doctors only gave him 2 weeks left to live. His father was a missionary in Angola, and this was before technology. And his father, months prior to this, sent his son a letter. And the young man opened the letter, and this is what it said. Only one life soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. When his father penned this letter to his son, he had no idea that his son was going to be in an accident. And yet this letter arrived to his son 2 weeks that the doctors had given him months later. These words stabbed the heart of this young fellow. He got out of bed, he kneeled down and prayed, and he said, Lord, you've won. I own you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and if you will heal my body, I will serve you anywhere, anytime, at any cost. The Lord healed him. He became a minister and a pastor and evangelist. His name was Stephen Alford. God brought him into a position of significant usefulness through the tragedy of an accident, but most of all, his willingness to say anywhere, anytime, and at any cost. We read these words in Psalm 40, verses 7 and 8. Then I said, see, I've come. It's written about me in the volume of the scroll. I delight to do your will, my God. Your instruction lives within me. Hebrews 10:7 says this. Then I said, see, it's written about me in the volume of the scroll to do your will, God. In other words, anywhere, anytime, at any cost. I ask you this morning, are you willing to go there? Are we willing to go outside these doors and the culture is becoming so countercultural to what we believe in? Are you willing to say anywhere, anytime, at any cost, Lord? Paul said he was poured out as a drink offering for his service. All the disciples were martyred for their anywhere, anytime, at any cost. It's folded in the hearts of Christmas. It's enfolded in the hearts of Joseph and Mary. And what we find here at the very end, as it does sentinels, we have an indescribable gift given to us by our Savior. In 2 Corinthians 9:15, Paul says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And this is what we're waiting for. Jessica, will you put up the picture of Simeon again that Ms. DeBow used? And I'm going to use that picture, by the way, because on Christmas Eve, that's who I'm going to be playing this year, Simeon. I hope that when we wake up Christmas morning, that's how we're going to look. Not because we have gifts under the tree, because we have the Lord Jesus Christ being born to us. Let us pray. Father, I thank you so much again for your word to Scripture. You knew exactly who to choose to be Jesus' earthly father and to be his mother. We thank you for their willingness in a time in which they could have been disowned and killed, ashamed, a disgrace. And yet through it all, they are willing to not allow the culture and what other people might think to dictate their response to you. I'm reminded by the old Baptist hymn, just trust and obey. We sing that often, but do we mean it? Do we trust you completely? Are we willing to be obedient to you even in the face of opposition? Father, help us. Help our hearts. Help us this season. with an expectancy that is beyond anything we can believe of such an indescribable gift you present to us. We praise you through Christ our Lord. Amen. I want to encourage you this morning that this altar is open. If you'd like to come and pray, come be a part of our congregation, or if you haven't received the Lord Jesus Christ, to come this morning and make him your Lord and Savior. Please stand for our final hymn. You'll be seated for just a minute. James, Melanie, boys. I know you've been seeing these guys around for a while. They've been with us. They have come forward this morning to join our church officially. And so I present James and Melanie Dowell to you for membership. And all those in favor, say aye. Any opposed? I hate doing that part anyways. But any opposed? No. Good. Well, let's give them a round of applause. Thank you. Welcome. If you guys will stay right up here, okay? And I want to encourage you to come and greet them officially with us this morning. If you'll stand for the benediction. And one announcement, a sad announcement, but it's also at the end, it's a happy announcement. Lisa Shaw passed away during the night, if you have not heard. Her and Todd have been here and a big part of this church. As you know, she's been battling MS for 17, 18 years. And sad as it is, think how she's doing now. I had the privilege of spending time with them and visiting them with their home, of course, before COVID hit, and then that changed everything. But be in prayer for Todd and the kids, and reach out to them. Let them know how much we love them. And with that said, let us go, and may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, and may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.